You're listening to Mevi Chazara, Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Ervin Daf. A little bit complicated. We're trying to catch up from the first days of Yontif. So we're gonna start on Vav Amud Beis, and we'll try to do as much as we can. We're actually already starting a few lines down from Vav Amud Beis, maybe about a little over 15 lines down actually, and we were just speaking about a brisa that had the opinions of Tanakama and then Chananya. The Tanakama says that we have a Rishus HaRabim, and we explain it's not really a Rishus HaRabim, it's a Mavoi that opens up into a Rishus HaRabim. So the Tanakama says that you can make a Tsuras HaPesach on one side, and then a Lechi and Korah on the other side. And Chananya said, no, that's not enough. It's really Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai say you need two doors, one door on each side, and they need to be locked. And Beis Hillel say that you can make a door on one side and a Lechi or Korah on the other side. So there are really three opinions. There's the Tanakama, and then there's Beis Shammai according to Chananya, and Beis Hillel according to Chananya. So those are the three opinions. That's on Vav Amud Aleph. So now on Vav Amud Beis, what we clarified at the top of the Amud is that we're not talking about making a Rishus HaRabim, a place that you can carry in, but rather that just talking about this Mavoi that opens up into a Rishus HaRabim. So now, around 15 lines down, so we said, Itmar, it was stated, Rav Amar Hilchos HaKetanakama, that Rav said the halacha is like the Tanakama, which is the more lenient opinion, Vishmuel Amar Halacha KeChananya. Shmuel says the halacha is in accordance with Chananya, which would definitely be Chananya in accordance with Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai, as we'll say, as we know in general as a klal, but we'll see later on. This is one of the big sources of halacha kebeis Hillel. That's machlokas. It happens to be that we do hold like Rav, like meaning the Shulchan Aruch, and most poskim hold like Rav, like Rav over here, which would be holding like the lenient opinion of the Tanakama. However, there are Rishonim that paskin like Shmuel over here, and then would hold like Chananya. But there's still a clarification we need for Chananya's shita, because we'll see. Ibailu, they asked lechananya aliba de beis hillel tzarich linol or ein tzarich linol. So just to go back for a moment onto Vav Amud Aleph, the Bryce over here in the opinion of Chananya. So Beis Shammai said you need to make a door on one side and a door on the other side. So both sides of this Rishus HaRabim need, or the Mavoi, open to Rishus HaRabim, right? So it's meaning it's open to Rishus HaRabim on both sides. So both sides need a door. And it says, right, Beis Shammai say, Ukeshehu yotze v'nichnas noel, and when you go in and out, you have to lock it. So the doors must be basically constantly locked unless you're actually using it. And then Beis Hillel, as quoted by Chananya, said, you don't need two doors, you make one door, and the other side could have a lechi and korah, that's fine. Now, Beis Hillel did not tell us, Chananya did not tell us what Beis Hillel holds about the doors being locked. They didn't mention, and the doors have to be locked like Beis Shammai. So did they not mention it because, like, yes, just to take it for granted, the same thing as Beis Shammai? Or perhaps they didn't mention the doors needing to be locked because they actually don't hold that the doors need to be locked. This is the question. So what's the answer? So we have a few sources that all indicate the same thing. Tashma, coming here, proved to Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Eino tzarech lin ol. You do not need to lock it. That's what Beis Hillel holds. V'chein Amar, and he's quoting Shmuel, and Shmuel holds the Chananya, remember. Eino tzarech lin ol. V'chein Amar Rav Masna Amar Shmuel, and Rav Masna also quotes Shmuel, who said, Eino tzarech lin ol. Same thing. Ikadamri, there are those who say that this statement of Rav Masna was not stated that, you know, it was like a theoretical thing, but rather, Amar Rav Masna, this is the story with Rav Masna, Rav Masna said, Bididi hava uvda, this actually happened to me, I was there, I was in the town, v'amar li Shmuel, and Shmuel told me, ein tzarech lin ol. Right, so that Ikud Amri is just a different version of Rav Masna, that it was actually a halacha l'maisa shaila that came up. So that seems to be the opinion. Now, bo mi name Rav Anan tzarich linol or ain't tzarich linol. So the same question that the Gemara just asked was also presented to Rav Anan. They asked, do you need to lock it or not? Meaning, seemingly according to Chananya, And according to Shmuel, according to Beis Hillel, Amar Lahu, he said to them, Tachazi hani avuli did Nahar Da. Take a look at these gates of Nahar Da, de teman ad palgaihu, that they're like sunken into or and hidden in halfway into the sand, meaning there are these gates, palgaihu ba'afra, that they're, right, so these gates are, you know, like, basically you can't really open or close them. They're like held halfway in the sand, held in one position. So clearly they're not being locked at night, or when they're not being used. Va'ayel v'nofik mar Shmuel, and the master Shmuel would go in and out of them. V'lo amar lehu v'lo midi. He didn't say anything to them, and he didn't make a deal out of it at all. So what he's suggesting is that we see Shmuel was okay with it, even though they weren't locked. So, and that's in line with what we said, Shmuel said earlier, that Shmuel holds, that Hananya holds, that Beis Hillel holds, that you don't need to lock it when it's not being used. Amar Rav Kahana said, Hanach Magufos Havai. No, but hold on, that's different. Because these are Magufos. Rashi says that they were not completely open. Really, they were actually probably closer to closed than open. So, you know, it's hard to, you know, maybe that is where they're basically closed more often than not. It doesn't really tell us what would be the case, according to Beis Hillel, if there were doors that opened and closed, you know, freely, maybe then you would need to indeed lock them. So we're not really sure based on that story alone. However, we have other things to rely on. Also, Rav Nachman came, and presumably to Nahar Da, Amar, and he said, "Penuya lafrayu, clear out the dust over there," meaning dig out the gates, seemingly because he says, like, "I want you to be able to close the doors at night," or sorry, not I keep saying at night when they're not in use. So that's what Rav Nachman says. It seems like he's arguing. So the Gemara asks, "Lema kesavar Rav Nachman sarich linol?" Maybe Rav Nachman holds that you actually need to lock them. I mean, maybe he holds that. That's what Beis Hillel say. So lo kevan deruus lenol afapisha ein naalos. So we say no, that's not necessarily the case. It could be that he doesn't feel, Rav Nachman doesn't think that Beis Hillel say that you need to lock it, but just that it needs to have the ability to be locked, right? If otherwise, they're not really gates much at all. If they are, you know, half open, half closed, even if they're more closed, they're not really gates if they're not able to be locked. So not that Rav Nachman necessarily holds that Beis Hillel hold that you need to lock them when they're not in use, but rather just they need to have the ability to be locked. Okay. Hahu mavoi akum zahava ben Nahar Da. There was a mavoi akum in Nahar Da. And Rami alei chumra de Rav v'chumra de Shmuel. And they threw on it the chumra of Rav and the chumra of Shmuel. And they required doors on this. So first of all, Rashi points out, he draws a nice picture for us. This mavei akum is shnei psachav mufulashin l'rishos rabim achas kigon zeh. And take a look at Rashi, he draws the picture. So this is not the L shape that we saw before, but more of a U shape or a ches shape, right? Depending on if it's upside down or right side up. Rashi drew it in a U shape. I would prefer to draw it in a ches shape, I think. I think that would be more clear for me, but anyway, so that was this mavoi that they had, and there was a chumrah of Rav and a chumrah of Shmuel over here. So, what's the chumrah of Rav? What's the chumrah of Shmuel? So also it says that they required doors over here, and you see over here in the diagonal, right? If you're looking at the picture, the diagonal. There are two diagonals, there's a deles, and so there's a lechi at both entrances, and at both diagonals there's a door. So chumri deravd amar taraso kimafulash. The chumra, like Rav, against Shmuel, is that he, right, remember we spoke about this back on daf, this is on our own daf, vav and aleph. You remember the simon of the vav is a sword, and so the vav, amar aleph, so there was a matador with a sword, And, you know, he was like wielding the sword, and then, you know, he saw the bull and realized it was a little bit much for him. So he tried to run away, and he like cut down a hole and made a breach in the wall. And while the bull turned the corner around the Mavai Akum, this L-shaped Mavai. So we remember the Akum was on Vavan Aleph, and it's also on Vavan Beis. So in that discussion over there, Rav said that it's like an open mavoi, this L shape. It's like an open mavoi, right? On both sides open up to the Rishos HaRabim, and therefore, Rav Paskin, that you need a Tsuras HaPesach at the diagonal, and then an Akora or Lechi at each entrance to the mavoi. That was a strict psak. And over here, that is indeed that would seem to be the strict psak over here. Kind of. Because he's requiring at least a Tzuras HaPesach at both diagonals, right? So there's a Lechi at each entrance, and at least a Tzuras HaPesach at both diagonals, even though this is even more than that, it's a Delas. And that's not in accordance to Shmuel, because remember, Shmuel said when it comes to Mavoi Akum, right, the L-shaped Mavoi, that at each entrance you need a Lechi or a Korah, and at the diagonal, it was two Lashonos and Rashi. The first one is that you don't need anything at all at the diagonal. And the second opinion in Rashi is that you don't need you only need a Lechi, but you don't need a Tzuras, a Pesach. So the fact that over here what they did, that they required doors, so it sounds like they're holding like it's like a mafulash, a mufa mafulash, like an open mavoi, that they're requiring you to put not just Tzuras Pesach, but even doors. So it sounds like they're holding like Rav. But hold on. Are they really holding like Rav? V'ha'amar Rav, says the Gemara, halacha k'tanakama. But Rav said the halacha is like the Tanakama. That, right, and remember the Tanakama in our Brisa said, it was a different halachas, Rav and Shmuel, the Tanakama in the Brisa said, on Vav and Aleph, that you don't need doors, right? If you have a mavoi that's opened to two sides, to Rishos and Rav on two sides, that says that you need a Tzuras HaPesach on one side, a Lechi and Kor on the other side, but you don't need doors. It was only the Hananya who quotes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel of saying you need one door or two doors, but the door thing is not like the Tanakama, and Rav holds like the Tanakama. So therefore, Kishmuel, Damar Halacha Kechananya. The fact that they had doors indicates that Halacha is like Chananya, like it was in accordance with Shmuel, who says Halacha is like Chananya, requires doors. V'halamar Shmuel, says the Gemara, but what Shmuel says, Toraso Kisasum, that it should be like a Sasum, a mavoi, and therefore you should not require anything at the diagonal, or maybe just a lechi, but definitely not a Tzuras HaPesach or doors. So the Gemara says, "Kirav de amru taraso kimafulash." So it's in accordance with Rav, who says that that it's like an open mavoi, right? So meaning, according if we would be holding it, we're mixing and matching a strict and lenient opinion of Rav and Shmuel. Meaning, if we would just go according to Rav, so we would say, well, Rav says it's like a Mavi Mufulash, so you need a Tzuras HaPesach at both diagonals, but you don't need doors because he holds like the Tanakama. If we would be holding like Shmuel, so Shmuel would say, oh, maybe you don't need anything at the diagonals, but in order to, but he holds like Hananya, so you're going to need doors, at least at the ends of it. Over here, but over here we don't need doors at it. We just need a lechi. So it sounds like they're doing some a chumrah of Shmuel requiring doors, and a chumrah of Rav requiring a strong thing at each diagonal. So here's the question: Umi avdinan kitrei chumri? Could we really hold like two chumras that are basically contradictory, meaning we have a machlokas over here of Rav and Shmuel, and we're holding like the chumras of both? V'hatanya, we learned in the Brisa, seeing that you cannot do that. Li'olam halacha kebeis Hillel. The Brisa says, the truth is, or always, a halacha is like Beis Hillel. V'harosh alatzas k'divrei Beis Shammai oseh, but someone who wants to do like Beis Shammai can do so. And k'divrei Beis Hillel oseh, someone who wants to do like Beis Hillel can. And there's an inherent contradiction over there. The halacha is like Beis Hillel, but anybody who wants to do like Beis Shammai can, and Beis Hillel can. So the Gemara will deal with that almost immediately. But the Brisa continues, Mikule Beis Shammai, Mikule Beis Hillel. If you want to take the kulos of both, so Rasha, A person who does that is a Rasha. So you say, oh, like Beis Hillel, when it's, you know, you go a Psak shopping and find the most lenient opinion, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, so that's called a Rasha. Mechumri Beis Shammai, Mechumri Beis Hillel, Alava Kasuv Omer, but if you take the Chumras of both, so the Pasuk says about you, Pasuk in, is it Mishlei? Sorry, Koheles, HaKasil B'choshech Holech, the fool walks in darkness. So just to hold like one sheet to through and through. So, either hold like Beis Shammai and all its kulos and chumros, or Beis Hillel and all its kulos and chumros. But the Gemara then says, "Hagufakasha, we have a contradiction right over here." Amarta liolam halachik Beis Shammai, v'hadar amarta harotzi lasas kedivrei Beis Shammai ose. So you said halacha like Beis Hillel, but if I wanted to like Beis Shammai, I can. So that's a contradiction. So we're going to have actually three answers to resolve this contradiction. The first one is going to be part of our simon. Lo kasha kan kodem baskol kan laachar baskol. This one is before the baskol comes, but after the baskol. We're going to see actually later on in our own masech, the daf yud gimel mitbeis, Rashi points out the Mari Makom, that there's a baskol that comes out va'amra and it says halacha kebeis hillel. So you know that this brisa basically features the one statement that actually took place after the baskol paskin like Beis Hillel, but the second statement was before there was that baskol, so people could do whatever they could, choose one sheet that they want, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, but the brisa instructs you to stick to that one sheet through and through. Don't mix and match chumros and kulos. And that's the first resolution to this brisa. And this is the third point for our daf simon. So again, when we go to our vav, which is like, right, vav is shaped like a sword. So you have the matador with the sword. He's wielding it at the bull, and then he realizes he bit off a little more than he could chew. He runs, cuts a breach in this mavoi akum, this el shei mavoi. So he gets through the breach, and then the bull turns the corner of the mavoi, but he's disqualified by the judge, because the judge always paskin like Beis Hillel. So this reminds us of the three things are, first of all, the size of a breach, four tvachim, or it could be up to 10 amos, the size of the machlok is about the size of a breach in a wall of a mavoi. The second point is the L-shaped mavoi, the mavoi akum. And the third thing is that we paskin like halacha kebeis hillel. If you want to even add a baskol piece, you can, you're disqualified, a baskol comes out, you're disqualified, because we paskin like Beis Hillel, however you remember it better. And then back to the Gemara. So, v'ibayisema, and if you want, I'll say another answer, another resolution to this contradiction in this brisa about paskin like Beis Hillel, but being able to choose like Beis Shammai. Hava halachar baskol. Both of these really took place after the baskol. So really halachas like Beis Hillel. So how could you choose like Beis Shammai? So Rabbi Yeshua he, and it's actually Rabbi Yeshua who authored this brisa. Or actually, this opinion that you could choose to be like Beis Shammai, delo maskach bebaskol, because he doesn't pay attention to a baskol, he doesn't listen to the baskol. So we need to explain this. First of all, this is Rashi says the perak hazav bebava metzia daf nintes amad beis, which is the famous tanur shalach nai, the famous story of this machlokas Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, the majority held like Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Eliezer insisted on his shita, and he kept demanding that miracles be performed to show that halacha is like him. Finally, a baskol comes out and says that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua famously says, "Lo bashamayim, the Torah is not in heaven. We don't pay attention to baskol. The Torah is not in heaven. The Torah is down here, and we decide halacha." So here too, right? So the baskol came out and paskin like Beis Hillel, but not everybody holds like the baskol. Rabbi Yeshua does not hold like the baskol. So again, so when our brisa says that, right, it says, halachas like Beis Hillel, that's what the Rabbanan hold. Halachas like Beis Hillel because the baskol came out. And it says, but you could do whatever you want. That reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, who doesn't listen to the baskol. Now, there's an important tosos. I really shouldn't do it because I want to save time, but I think it's just a very interesting tosos who asks the question, hold on, isn't that a really good point that we don't passing like a baskol? What all of a sudden we're passing like the baskol in Beis Hillel? It seems like the Gemara over there is pretty conclusive that lo bashamayimi, we don't passing like a baskol. So so Tosos over here, the bottom of Vavim Beis, Kanla al-Achar baskol, gives a couple answers. First of all, it says, V'yesh lomer da hasam lo yotza el l'chvodo, k'demuch ha-chasam. It says, maybe that wasn't a real baskol, not to, that, you know, maybe like, yeah, we really do paskin like a baskol, just that baskol wasn't a real baskol. It was kind of one that, like, defending the honor of Rabbi Eliezer, but that wasn't actually paskin halacha. And they suggest another answer as well, the Bali Tosos, right? And maybe, the idea that we don't listen to a baskol, that's if it's against a majority rule. And so in that situation, the majority held against Rabbi Eliezer, so if a baskol comes out, so the majority is going to rule. However, when it comes to the machlokas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, so Beis Hillel actually also held the majority. So why wouldn't they win anyway? So maybe there's an argument to say, this is what Tosfos says, that havu harifei tfei, that they were like more sharp. Beis Shammai was more sharp. They were wiser, more clever, whatever it was, than Beis Hillel, and maybe that should outweigh the majority aspect that Beis Hillel held, and so that's what the baskol came along to answer. And they continue to explain, the Bali Tosfos over here, that's the shita of the Chacham. Now, Rabbi Yush, meaning the Chacham held, what does it mean when like, you know, we always assume lo bashamayim, like the way we finish that Gemara and with the way people understand it, lo bashamayim, we don't listen to a baskol ever. But that's really, seems to be not the opinion of the majority of the Chacham over here, that really, we do listen to a baskol, unless the baskol is going against the majority, or if we assume the baskol is not, you know, paskening real halacha, just defending someone's honor, but otherwise we do listen to a baskol, which is really an interesting take on that Gemara. And however, Rabbi Yeshua is an exception. Rabbi Yeshua doesn't listen to a baskol ever. He never paskens like a baskol. So even when, that's what the Gemara is saying up here now. So, Joe, you know, you can hold like Rabbi Yeshua, you can say Rabbi Yeshua says this braisa because he doesn't even listen to the baskol that paskens like Beis Hillel. Okay, just I thought a very interesting toast that's worth discussing. Back to the Gemara. So a third answer, a third resolution to the contradiction in the Braisa, right? The first answer is, this is before the Baskol, this is after the Baskol. Second possibility is that this is the opinion of the Rabbanan, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, who doesn't hold like the Baskol, that Paskin like Beis Hillel. Third possibility, V'Baisim Ahachi Kamar. This is what it's saying. Kol hecha demishkachas trei tanoi v'trei amurai depligi adadi ke'en machlokas beshamayim beis hillel, that whenever you find a machlokas tanoim or a machlokas amurayim that's similar to a machlokas beshamayim beis hillel, meaning like, I guess two sides of a machlokas, or I guess a classic machlokas, right? We know from the Mishnah Pirkei Avos that a classic machlokas l'shem shemayim is beshamayim beis hillel. So you have such a, you know, type of machlokas. So if you have any other machlokas of tanoim or amurayim, so lo le'avid, right? Meaning that if you ever have a machlokas tanayim or machlokas amarayim, so don't choose the kulos of this and the kulos of this and the chumras of this and the chumras of this one. Rather, stick to one shita through and through. And that, so again, just the way we're interpreting this braisa now is this braisa saying the halacha is always like Beis Hillel. Good. And if you want to, let's say you want to do like Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai, you can choose to do like Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai. Doesn't mean Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, specifically. In fact, they're actually the exception. You cannot choose to be like Beis Shammai. Halacha is like Beis Hillel. But for anybody else, for any similar type of machlokas, like Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel's machlokas. So it's a machlokas Rav or Shmuel. It's a machlokas, the Tanakama and Chananya. Any type of machlokas that you might have. So, just stick to that shita through and through, and that's what the Braisa is telling us. But it doesn't actually mean you can choose between a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So those are the three answers. Nevertheless, mikol makom kasha. Nevertheless, you still have a question, right? The question is that this, meaning now that we interpreted the bottom line of this Braisa, is that you're not allowed to choose the chumras of this one, or you shouldn't choose the chumras of this one and the chumras of that one. That doesn't make sense. That's the fool who's walking in darkness. Yet the people in, was it Naharda? Yeah. The Narda, they had this ches-shaped mavoi akum, and they seemed to hold of the chumras of Rav and the chumras of Shmuel. So how do they do that? And we're going to give one simple answer, and then we're gonna limit the scope of that and give another answer. So the first answer is as follows. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, kulei k'Rav avdua. Really, they're following the shita of Rav. Okay, let's see how. Dama Rav Huna Amar Rav, because Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, halacha ve'ein morin kein. Now, what did Rav really hold? He held, the truth is, that's the halacha, what I said, meaning that his kula, right? So Rav had a chumra, that it's like a mave mafulash, and therefore you need to have something chazak at the diagonals. That's a chumra. And then Rav had a kula that he held like the Tanakam, who doesn't require doors. So in regards to that kula that Rav said, so Rav Huna says that Rav said halacha ve'in morin kain. It's the halacha, but we don't instruct people this way. Rashi says halacha kitanakama ve'in morin kain ela kichananya debay delasos. That when he would tell people to give shiurim, he would tell them to give the shiur and paskin like chananya, even though really he held the halacha like tanakama, right? But he would tell people to instruct people to do it lechumra, you know, I guess to distance people from avera. But the truth is, he actually held, so even though he really held, like the Tanakama. And therefore, they're following the Shita of Rav. Rav himself would tell people, right, Rav himself would have this, he would hold what he really held, the halacha, the chumra, that you need something chazak by the diagonals, that you consider this mavoi akum like a mavoi mafulash. But he would also tell people to hold the chumra like Chananya, even though he really held like Tanakama. And this actually resolves the problem. But not everyone would hold like this. Ulu Rav Adabarava, but according to Rav Adabarava, Amar Rav, who said in the name of Rav, Da'amar Halacha Umorin Kain, but no, Rav Adabarava would say, no, Rav said this, held this was the halacha, and he actually taught that this was the halacha. So according to this, where Ma'ika Lememar, what are you able to say? According to Rav Ada Bar Ava, Rav held one chumra and one kula. So how could the people of Naharda, the Chacham of Naharda, paskin like a chumra of Rav and a chumra of Shmuel? So Amar Rav Shizbi says, Ki lo avdinan ke chumre de beitrei. When do we not do chumros, like of two different opinions? Hecha desaser hadadi. It's only when they contradict each other. Kigon shidra v'gilgoles. For example, like the spine and the skull. We're going to quote a Gemara momentarily. It's a Mishnah and a Gemara momentarily that's going to explain this. But basically, sometimes you have contradictions, right? You have two different opinions, and if you hold like one, chumra like one and chumra like the other, there's like an inherent contradiction that doesn't make sense. And sometimes there are two completely unrelated things. Like, you know, if it's something, machlokas Rav and Shmuel in brachos, and then you have another one of halachos Rav and Shmuel in treifus, so then they very likely are two completely unrelated halachic discussions, and therefore you could hold like Rav Lakul over here and Rav Lachumra over here. But if it's the same inyan, and so much so that it's like a inherent contradiction to hold such a thing, so that's when you should not hold two chumros or two kulos. And the example is the case of a spine and a skull. And we're going to see that there's a halacha regarding, first of all, spines and skulls have a unique halacha. We're going to go through this simply because it's really not the main discussion here. It's just really an example. But a spine and a skull have a special place in the hearts of the Chachamim who discuss Tumah and Tahara, that generally you need flesh on bones in order for it to transmit a certain type of Tumah called Tumas Ohel, being in the same roof or playing the role of a roof. If you come in contact with it, with Maga, Masa and Maga, so that's even if it's just bones, right, as we saw a little bit earlier talking about the bones the size of a barley corn. However, the skull and the spine are big and so prominent that they will transmit Tumas Ohel uniquely, even without any flesh on it. However, if there are certain critical parts of the skull or spine that are missing, it loses this special status of being the skull or the spine. And we're going to go through some of these a little bit gory details of what could be missing with the skull and the spine that would make it no longer have this special status. But we're going to see the reverse is that, you know, so let's take a look at this first. So kigon shidra v'gogolas. So ditznan, as we learned in the Mishnah, hashidra v'gogolas shechasru. If you have a spine or a skull that's lacking something, v'kama chisaron shidra. How much of a lack is in the spine? V'shami omrim shtei chulio. So v'shel omrim chulia achas. So v'shami say if it's missing two vertebrae, the spine is missing two vertebrae. V'shel says even if it's just missing one, it already loses its status of this, and therefore it's of a spine or a skull, of a spine, and it's not going to transmit the tumas ohel. Uba gulgolas, and with a skull, bishamehorm kemale mikdach, if there's a hole the size of like a certain type of drill that the drill makes, ubis hil omrim kidesha shayin tel min hachai viyamus. How much of a skull has to be missing in order for it not to have the status of the skull anymore? Enough that if you would take it away from a person who's living, if you take out this part of the skull that's living, the person would die. So that's considered a significant part of the skull, that if it's lacking that, it would no longer have the status of a skull. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, v'chein le'inyen trefa. And so too, these halachos are the same thing for a trefa. That meaning that a trefa is that if an animal has a certain internal wound that is considered very severe, so it's considered a treifa. That's really what treif is. And even if you shecht it kehalacha, it's not kosher, right? So famously, you know, if there's like a hole in the lung, that's a very famous one. But there's also, if there's certain spinal damage or cranial damage, that would also be a problem. Now, how much of skull damage? Well, that's a machlokes b'shamayis b'beis hillel, the same one that we had over here. How much spine damage? Machlokes b'shamayis b'beis hillel, whether it's two vertebrae or one vertebrae, but that's the machlokes. So what comes out of this? That there's a chumrah of b'shamayis, like b'shamayis, let's say, says it's harder, or it takes more for the spine to lose its status. So therefore, there's a chumrah when it comes to tumah, but there's a kula when it comes to treifas, because it's harder for it to become a treifa, and therefore it's going to stay kosher for longer, and vice versa with Beis Hillel. So therefore, we see over here that, but the point is that if you hold the chumrah by this and the kula by this, but the problem is that it's conceptually the same, that these two machlokasin of treifa and tumas ohel are based on the same fundamental point of what's considered a critical part to the spine or to the skull. So it's a complete inherent contradiction to Paskin like Beis Shammai in one case and Beis Hillel in another case. There's an inherent contradiction. So, you know, if you choose the kula, the two kulos, so you're a rasha. And if you choose the two chumros, you're a fool. Said, but continues the Gemara. Aval hecha de lo sasher hadadi avdinan. But when there's no inherent contradictions, then you can pick and choose. You don't have to stay consistent with the shita if they're not interconnected machlokasin. So the Gemara then says, wait, hold on. Hecha de sasher hadadi lo avdinan. Is that true? That even when there's an inherent contradiction, we don't do that? But let's see. Mosiv Rav Masharshi, Rosharshia challenges this from a Mishnah or a Bryce that we have in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yudalam, and Beis. Maisa Rabbi Akiva, there was a Maisa with Rabbi Akiva, Shalikit Esrog Be'echad B'Shvat, that he was gathering Esrog, he was like harvesting Esrog on the first of Shvat. V'nahagba Beis Isurin. Okay, so we need two quick hakdamos here. First of all, there's a machlokes, a famous machlokes, and it starts in the first amud, Beis Amud Aleph of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, which tells us that Beis Shammai say that the Rosh Hashanah le'ilan is on Aleph Bishvat, and famously hold Beis Hillel Omrim that it's on Tu Bishvat. We hold that there's Tu Bishvat, however, Beis Shammai hold it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat. So that's one machlokas to get down. Now, there's also another important halakha. We have discussed this in the past, but every year, let's talk about not the Shemitah year. There's 6 years before the Shemitah year. This year is the Shemitah year. The six past years. So there's a Meiser called Meiser Rishon, where you take off 10% and that goes to the Levi. And then there's a second Meiser that you have to take. Not necessarily called Meiser Sheni. The second Meiser you have to take, sometimes it's Meiser Sheni, and you take off this 10%, and what you do with Meiser Sheni is you bring it to Yerushalayim, and you eat it within the walls of Yerushalayim, or You, right, if you live too far, you exchange it for money and then use that money to redeem and buy something else. And that has this kedusha of meiser sheni. And sometimes you can take 10% and you give it to the poor. That's called meiser ani. The system is that it's 2 years of meiser sheni, then meiser ani. And then, so meaning like if you have 7 years of a Shemitah cycle, so the first year, it's first 2 years, it's Meiser Sheni. The third year, it's Meiser Ani. Then the fourth, fifth, and sixth year, you go Meiser Sheni, Meiser Ani. And then the seventh year is Shemitah. And the seventh year, you just have Meiser Rishon. So here's the thing. And the question is, when it comes to the Esrog tree, when does the agricultural year, the new year for the Esrog tree start? So it starts, well, it's Machlokas, either on the 1st or the 15th of Shvat. And this was the year, Rashi elaborates, this is the year between the 2nd and the 3rd, right? So we're not sure if it's the year of Meiser Sheni or if it's the year of Meiser Ani. It depends, right? So he was doing this on the first of Shvat. So according to Beis Hillel, the new year didn't start yet. Therefore, it's still the second year of the Shemitah cycle, or you can maybe say the fifth, whatever it is. It's the second year of the Shemitah cycle. It's the year of Meiser Sheni. So you should take off the Meiser Sheni. That's what Beis Hillel would say. Beis Shammai would say, no, it's the first of Shvat. Therefore, this is now the new year for the Esrog, and therefore, this is actually the third year of the Shemitah cycle. It's a year of Meiser Ani. So you should take off Meiser and give it to the Aniyim. So this is you have to figure out the halacha. So what happened over here? Let's go. Meiser Bikiva, Shalikate Esrog, Be'echad Beshvat, V'nagba Be'ez Yisur. And he took off double Meiser. Echad Kedivrei Beis Shammai, V'echad Kedivrei Beis Hillel. So, over here, it's very, very nice. He took off Meiser Sheni and Meiser Ani, but he, this is an inherent contradiction. He's simultaneously holding that the new year is, he's simultaneously holding that it's the new year and it's not. He's simultaneously holding it's the second year and the third year. He's simultaneously holding it's the year of Meiser Sheni, it's the year of Meiser Ani. So there's an inherent contradiction. So maybe we do hold like that. So the Gemara says no. Rabbi Kiva gamre istapikle. Rabbi Kiva, his own learning, he was specific about. V'loya de ibeis hilal b'chad b'shvat emor, ibechamisar b'shvat emor. He forgot the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. He didn't know. He wasn't positive. Maybe he learned it in two different ways, but he wasn't sure which one was based Hill. Did Beis Hillel hold it Tu B'Shvat or Rosh Chodesh Shvat? And because he didn't know, V'avad Hacha L'Chumra, V'Hacha L'Chumra. So over here, he wasn't holding like two Chumros because he wanted to hold like two Chumros. Over here, he was actually B'Safik, so he did both out of Chumra, M'Safik, but not that he was just choosing two Chumros and paskening confidently like two Chumros L'Halacha. He was actually just doing both because he wasn't sure what the Halacha was. Before we continue, I just want to shout out that first of all, Zion is the simon for Zichru is a Kli Zion. Kli Zion means a weapon. He chooses a gun over here. It's a couple of violent dapim. I know Vav is a sword. Zion is a gun. But it's Kli Zion, a weapon, a gun. And the first Zichru point is this very discussion about inherent machlokasin and specifically thinking about the example of the Shidra and the Golgolas, the spine and the skull, and that if you hold like Beis Shammai for one, Beis Hillel like one by Trefa and one by Tuma, so there's an inherent contradiction. So that's the first Zichru point. There's actually going to be a gun found at a crime scene, and the gun is going to be right next to a skull and a spine. And I apologize, it's a little graphic, but that's the first Zichru point. Let's continue. Yosef at the two dots. Yosef Rav Yosef Kame de Rav Huna V'Yosef V'Kamar. So Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna, and he was sitting and he was saying, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Machlokes Pesaratya, that it's a Machlokes with a Saratya. Sorry, Misrati Mikan, Misrati Mikan. So first of all, they're talking about the Machlokes of the Tanakama and Hananya. Remember, the Tanakama says that if you have a Mavoi open from both ends, Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, so Tanakama says you need a Tzuras HaPesach and a Lechi or a Korah on the other side, and Hananya holds, right, there's Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, that you need a door, an actual delas. So this machlokes, says Rabbi Yehuda Marav, is actually limited. It's only in the case of if there's a saratya on this side and a saratya on this side, or or a plati on the other side. So srati and platis are two different types of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Back in Daf Vav of Shabbos, or take a look at Rashi over here, Daf Vav in Shabbos also, this is part of the Zichr Simon for Vav was a sword, and as it still is for us in Erevin, and there is we're talking about what the definition of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, of a Carmelist, of a Makom Patur. So over there, we mentioned examples of a Sratia and a Platia. Sratia is, he says, it's the Derech Hiluch B'nei Adam, which is meaning a public thoroughfare. It's a place that people go through. Or a Platia is a Rechov L'Shvakim. It's like a town square for stores. So this is a Sratia and a Platia. And these two things are real Rishusa Rabbim. So, if the Mavoi so when do we have this machlokas that we're talking about? If the Mavoi has a srati on both sides or a plati on both sides, however, avos srati mikan ubika mikan, ubika mikan ubika mikan. But if there's a srati on one side of the Mavoi, and on the other side is actually a bika, which is like an open space. Rashi explains it's a carmelis, heva isur derbanhu. It's a carmelis. It's not a public thoroughfare. It's not a place where people are going. It's an open space, which is really would be a mokum patur midiraisa, but midirabanan, it's a carmelis. You're not allowed to carry there. So if one, or says the Gemara, obikamikan, or both sides of the mavoi are open to a bika, so to a carmelis. Oset suras a pesach mikan velechi vikora mikan. You can do a tzuras pesach on one side and a lechi nekor from the other side. Meaning that Hananya is only strict and only argues with the Tanakhama if both sides of the Mavoi are open to a real Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and not if even one of them is just open to a Carmelis. If one side of the Mavoi is open to a Carmelis, though, at least one side is open to the Carmelis, Hananya will agree with the Tanakhama, you don't need a Delis. Okay, so now the Gemara just asks the question. Now, hold on. Srati mikan ubika mikan osalot tzuras pesach mikan v'lechi v'kora mikan. So we that's, right now that we said that if there's a bika just on one side, that's enough that you don't need a door. A tzuras pesach and a lechi or kora are fine. So bika mikan ubika mikan mibaya. Do we really need to say if there's a Carmelis on each side? Why do you have to tell us that? It's obvious. If one side is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the other side's a Carmelis, then and you don't need a door, then for sure, if both sides are a Carmelis, you don't need a door. So Hachi Kamar, this is what it's saying. Srati mikan ubika mikan, nastika vika mikan ubika mikan. What the Braisa means to say is that you have a, no, sorry, it's not a Bryce. It's a teaching of Rav Yehuda Amarav, but still, what Rav Yehuda Amarav means to say is that if you have even one side open to a Carmelis, it's as if both sides are equal to a Carmelis, meaning you certainly do not need a Delis there. Umisayim ba mishmei de Rav, you Rav Yehuda, and he continued, meaning, and he already finished his piece. Rav Yosef is again speaking in front of Rav Huna. So he finished his piece in the name of Rav Yehuda, meaning before he was quoting Rav Yehuda Amarav. Now he's quoting Rav Yehuda without saying if Rav Yehuda quoted anybody. Im haya mavoi kale l'rechava. If you have a mavoi that kale is like finished, like terminates, it ends l'rechava. In, well, what does this mean? Like a wide space or something like that. So Rashi says that the Rechava is this hekif chatzer shachori batim. It's like this thing that goes around the chatzer, like behind the house. It's like a backyard. Kari Rechava mukeves arba mechitzas. So it's like a fully walled, like backyard, a back lot of a house. And Rashi elaborates over here that it actually, this Rechava opens up to Yerushalayim. It's not to Yerushalayim. Sorry. To the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So again, you have the Mavoi, which is, of course, open from one end, but from the other end of the Mavoi, it's not opened into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but it's open into this Rechava, this like back lot that's open to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So you can kind of see the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim from both sides of the Mavoi, but one of the sides, it's not open to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim directly, but rather it's open to a Rechava, to this back lot, and that which in turn is open to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So what's the halacha? Ein sarach klum. You don't need anything. And Rashi explains what this means. By the way, it doesn't mean you don't need that. Meaning you just need that lechem korah by the real entrance of the mavoi. Meaning that we consider it as a mavoi sasum. We consider it as if it's a closed mavoi, right? Meaning even a mavoi sasum, one side is always open, the entrance to the mavoi. So that entrance should have a lechi or a korah. That's fine. The back side, the opposite side of the mavoi is open to Rechava, which is open to Rishus Rabin. Doesn't matter, says Rav Yehuda, that you don't need anything over there. You are allowed to carry in this mavoi, no problem. Amar le Abaye, the Rav Yosef, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Hod Rav Yehuda de Shmuel hi. This that you said, that you quoted from Rav Yehuda, it must be the teaching of Shmuel. Abaye must have been listening into Rav Yosef talking to Rav Huna, and he says that you first quoted a halacha of Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, and now you quoted Rav Yehuda and you didn't quote his source. And I'm wondering, I'm thinking, whom could he be holding? Like in general, Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. I think more associated with Shmuel, but you see Rav Yehuda Amar Rav and Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel all over Shas, and Rav Yehuda is quoting. Rav Yosef didn't quote whom Rav Yehuda was quoting. Abaye says it must be that he's quoting Shmuel. And we'll turn over to Zion Amud Beis. De'i derav, kasha derav adarav betarti. Because we're going to find there are two contradictions on a shita of Rav. Meaning if over here Rav Yehuda is quoting Rav, remember there's one halach we learned about it being which was explicitly in the name of Rav about the being open on one side or two sides to a bika, and that the Chananya is not strict in that case. He agrees with the Tanakhama. And then the second halacha was not Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, it's just Stam Rav Yehuda. Saying that if the mavoi is open to a rechava, which is open to Rosh Hashanah, you don't need anything on that end. So this is going to contradict Rav. Rav said something elsewhere in two ways. And therefore, says Abaye, it cannot be that Rav is quoting himself, that Rav Yehuda is quoting Rav here, rather he's quoting Shmuel. I'm going to give you a heads up. This Amud is very short in words. I don't know. I had a lot of trouble with it today. I spent a lot of time working on it today. I'm going to say it as clearly as I can now, but you're probably going to need to, check it out again and look at Rashi inside and perhaps, Mr. Shem, I should say it correctly and play my recording again, to get it fully. I found it challenging. Could be you'll get it right away. But once you understand it, you'll be able to chazer this Amud in about 3 minutes. So we'll do our best. And part about what's so hard about this is that the two contradictions of Rav, meaning if you say that Rav Yehuda is saying this halacha in the name of Rav, then there's two contradictions on Rav, but only one of them is really mentioned in the Gemara, and you have to try to figure out what the other one is. But that Rashi helps us with that, but I found it tough. So Damar Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amar Rav, because Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba said in the name of Rav, Mavoi Shenifratz B'Meloo, if you have a Mavoi that is breached, Bimalo'o, in its fullness, meaning throughout the whole thing, you constantly have holes in this mavoi, Bimalo'o, and it's at least breached in the back end that's facing the chotzer, meaning, right, so you still have your normal two walls of the mavoi, you have the entrance to the mavoi, but the back wall of the mavoi is actually fully breached, and there's a chotzer there. And v'nivritz a chotzer kenegdo, and the chotzer also, and the chotzer also, the back entrance of the chotzer also has a breach. Now to the Rishos Rabim. So what you're looking at when you look at the front of the mavoi, so the front of the mavoi is a regular entrance to the mavoi, there's a lechi or there's a korah there, and you look at the back wall is opened up into a chotzer, and the chotzer, the back wall of the chotzer is opened up to the Rishos Rabim. The Rav says, Chatzer muteres umavoi asur. The chatzer, the people who live in the chatzer are allowed to carry in their chatzer, right? Because Rashi explains over here that the chatzer retains its status as a chatzer just because there's a breach, but as long as the breach isn't 10 amos wide, it's considered an entrance to the chatzer. So the chatzer still has, it's two of its walls, and there's still, even on the other side, there's still part of a wall and just less than 10 amos gap. So the chatzer still functions as a chatzer. However, the mavoi, it's usher to carry in the mavoi because of this entrance, because of this breach. So now the Gemara asks, really Abaye asks, Vamai, why would that be? Lehave kamavoi shekola l'rachava. Let it be like the mavoi that, you know, ends, that terminates in the Rechava, into this back lot, right? Meaning that, so this is the I think the easier contradiction to get is that basically this is almost the same thing as the case that Rav Yehuda said. Right? Rav Yehuda said we have a mavoi, and the mavoi is right, the back end of the back wall of the mavoi is actually opened up into a rechava, and the rechava is opened up into the Rishus Rabbim. Over here, just replace the word rechava with chatzer, right? You have over here a mavoi, the back wall of the mavoi is open into a chatzer, and the chatzer is open into the Rishus Rabbim. So Rav Yehuda said in his case that it's you don't ain sarich klum, you don't need anything. And Rav over here, as quoted by Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, is saying that the mavoi is usur, that you cannot carry in that. So it would seem to be you would expect the same halacha. It's the same basic structure. It's where you're. It looks like a mavoi mafulash, right? Because from both ends, when you're in the mavoi, from both ends you see the Rishus Rabbim. You're exposed to the Rishus Rabbim, right? Because there's the entrance where you're exposed to the Rishus Rabbim, and on the other side, you can see the Rishus Rabbim because you could see through the rechava, or you could see through the chutzner with the breach. So you would think maybe should you treat it like a mavoi mafulash? Rav Yehuda says you can carry there, and Rav says you can't. So that's one clear contradiction, which would make me think that Rav Yehuda is not quoting Rav, rather he must be quoting Shmuel. However, the Gemara says at the top that it's Kasha Adarav Adarav Betarti. There are actually two contradictions over here, two contradictions with Rav, and this next one is by an inference that's made based on what Rav, the case that Rav chose and the case that Rav Yehuda chose, which implies something else that they hold. Now, just if you want to see this, the Rashi that you get this from is Rashi Umavoy Aser. Maybe I'll read it quickly here. This is the Rashi you're going to want to go to really help you understand this. If you're having trouble, Umavoy Aser Kesaka Daitach Milinakat Venifritza Chotzer Kenegdo. From the fact that Rav chose the case of where it's breached into a chutzner, meaning Rav could have said, right, where the back wall is breached, he could have said rechava, but he chose this case of where it's opened up into the, where specifically the wall of the chutzner, he uses the case where the back wall of the chutzner is breached. The purpose of that is mishum de michsi kemavik mufulash ka'aserle, because he holds that if it looks like a mavik mufulash, because even if it's not open to the Rishus Rabbim, but it looks like it, meaning like you could see through the chutzner and through the breached back wall, so it looks like Rishus Rabbim, so it's like a mavik mufulash, so it's aser. V'lav mishum de nifratz lechutzner, but not because, why, the problem is not that it's breached into the chutzner. Meaning, the reason Rav assers his case, where the mavoi, there's a breach of the mavoi's back wall into the chutzner, and then there's a second breach of the back wall of the chutzner to the Rishus Rabbim. The reason Rav assers it is because we have these two breaches, including the breach of the back wall of the chutzner. So now you look directly into the Rishus Rabbim. That's why he assers it. However, if the back wall of the chutzner wasn't breached, so now you just have a breach of the back wall of the mavoi into the chutzner, and the chutzner is closed, so it seems that Rav would not aser it in that case. And Rashi explains that this is a case where there's no eruv. There's no eruv made between, for the chutzner and the mavoi, yet you can use this mavoi even though there's no eruv, as long as there's no breach in the back wall of the chutzner opening up to the Rishus Rabbim. Because Rav only has a problem with if it looks like a mavi mafulash, but as long as it doesn't look like a mavi mafulash, even if there's no eruv in this chutzner, you're allowed to carry in this mavoi. However, v'Rav Yehuda midinakat rechava, but from the fact that Rav Yehuda chose a case of rechava, right? Why did he choose rechava? Why didn't he just say chutzner? That's a more common case. Say chutzner. Why do you have to say the rechava, the back lot? Ashma Inon, it teaches us to mishum mafulash lo mitzar. Teaches us that Rav Yehuda doesn't answer it just because it looks like a mafulash, even if it's clearly wide open. Le uberechava leka diurin delitzur ole. And in a rechava, there aren't people living there, meaning people aren't really making use of that space as much. There would be a chatzer that you're gonna aser it. Avli hava kala lechatzer. However, the implication is the fact that Rav Yehuda used a case of a rechava and not a chatzer, because he would say if it was actually opened up into a chatzer, aser ele, he would actually aser it. Meaning, even if there was no breach in the back wall, meaning not even in Rav's case, if it was open, meaning the back wall of the mavoi is open into a chatzer, and even if the back wall of the chatzer is not breached, he would still aser carrying that mavoi because there are people who live in the chatzer and there's no eruv made. Right, we'll come in the first time, and then later on the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning. V'hainu d'kasha d'Rav ad'Rav b'tarti. These are the two challenges on Rav. Imishu mafulash, imishu manifrat l'chatzer v'asri alei b'nei chatzer. Right, whether it's mafulash or not, whether we have a problem with being open or not, and whether the nifrat to the chatzer is going to aser it because of the b'nei chatzer, d'nifrat samavoy below l'rishos ha'asurolav. Meaning, in my attempt to simplify it, I'll say this, that there's two machlokasin between Rav and Rav Yehuda over here. One of them is explicit, which is basically that if it looks like a mavoy mafulash, is that a problem or not? Both of them have a case where it looks like a mavoi mafulash, where on one side it's open to the Rishos HaRabim, and the other side it's open into either a rechava or a chatzer that also is open to Rishos HaRabim. So it looks like a mavoi mafulash. Rav Yehuda says it's mutter and to carry, and Rav says it's aser. But another machlokus that they have that you can infer from their choice of cases is that if the mavoi was open to a chatzer that did not have a breach, right? Meaning there's a breach in the mavoi to the chatzer, but the chatzer doesn't have a breach to the Rishos HaRabim. Are you allowed to carry in it if there's no eruv in that chatzer, from that chatzer to the mavoi? So that's a separate machlokas, and there Rav would be mekel and say yes, you can, and Rav Yehuda would be Machmir, and the reasoning would be, and this is, I think, a discussion we'll get into later when we learn more of these halachos in detail, but the reasoning would be that for Rav Yehuda is that a chatzer has people living there, meaning people are using that area a lot, they're very commonly found there, and therefore that's a reason to aser the use of the chatzer, and therefore the mavoi by extension, to anybody who doesn't live in that chatzer. However, the rechava, which is like a back lot, which isn't used as much, so we're not going to, aser the mavoi because of that if there's no eruv. Again, if you found that challenging, I found it very challenging, I had a tough time with it, and Baruch Hashem, I think I'm starting to get it, but hopefully you'll do some chazara and it'll become clear, but definitely work on that Rashi that I just read and try to break it down yourself. We'll read just a couple more lines, but I just also want to clarify that we're going to be dealing with this for the rest of this amud as well as the top of the next amud, so it is important that we get it, so we're going to do it in digestible bites. We'll do a few more lines now, and then the Rav will finish off the amud in Yirtzeh Hashem tomorrow night and do the next one. So Amar Lei, so Rav Yosef said back to Abaye, who brought this question, it must be that Rav Yehuda is quoting Shmuel because it goes against Rav for two reasons. So Rav Yosef says back, Ana lo yadana, I don't know. Uvdahava, there was a maisa that took place, Bedura de Ra'usa, it was a place where shepherds lived, Mavoi Shakala de Rechava, it was the Mavoi that was opened up or terminated in the Rechava, Hava, Va'asa the Kameh de Rav Yehuda, they brought the case before Rav Yehuda, Velo Atzrechalei Velo Midi, and he didn't require them to do anything. Meaning, yeah, Rav Yehuda didn't quote whether it was Rav or Shmuel. It was just a ma'isa. It's a ma'isa of the psak that he actually gave. V'ikash mishmei de Rav to have mishmei de Shmuel. And if you think it's going to be a kasha to assume that this shita is the shita of Rav, then you can say it was in the name of Shmuel. That's fine with me, says Rav Yosef. V'lo kasha midi, and then you don't have a problem. So yeah, fine. Let's say it's Shmuel. The next step of the Gemara is going to bring in a teaching of Rav Sheshes. And that's going to give us a possibility of seeing actually, no, maybe Rav Yehuda really could be holding like Rav, but I think it's worth taking a pause over here, trying to make sure you understand this amud clearly before we move on and try to confuse ourselves more. So we'll call it here for now. A good moed.